Voyage Guide to the Galaxy podcast. The official podcast of GalacticVoyage.com. We talk about Star Wars.
Fanboy style.
You've taken your first step into a larger world.
Welcome to Fanboy's Guide to the Galaxy, episode 12. And we have a very, very special guest back again. It's Kyle Newman, the director of Fanboys, and we're going to talk to him about Fanboys going to Blu-ray, just coming out today.
Yeah. Today's the day, finally.
Finally, yeah.
It'll be a day long remembered.
Yes. Tell us about some of the new features.
Well, first of all, it's HD, so it looks great. The picture transfer is awesome. I'm very excited about that. And although the packaging is comparable artwork, there's a lot of new things on it. So we have a video intro to the film, which kind of overviews, how the film's rolled out around the world with me and producer Matt Pernicciaro. We have a really extensive picture gallery that's put together from my personal pictures, some of the producer's pictures and actor's pictures, and the production designer's pictures, kind of cataloging behind the scenes, stuff people never got to see during the making of it on set, shooting at the actual Skywalker Ranch, working with people like Billy Dee Williams and Carrie Fisher, and these cool Star Wars sets we built to look like, you know, the archives or the trash compactor. So there's that whole picture gallery. And then we have a documentary that was put together, which is footage from all the different openings and DVD signing at the Golden Apple and Columbus premiere, our San Francisco premiere, me with some of the actors touring around Skywalker Ranch. It's got the movie opening in Japan. So it's all this video put together about how fanboys and fans. And it's also got, I think, German footage from where, you know, really the fan movement that helped to get released and expand around the world. So that's a short but cool documentary that's on this one as well. So it's very, it's a good bonus that's on there. So plus it's got all the features that were on the previous one, including the commentary, which is great. But like I said, and it's now the movie's in, in high def, so it's really cool.
Yeah, it definitely sounds cool. And, I don't have a Blu-ray player right now, but, you know, with Fanboys now Blu-ray, now, Clone Wars is on Blu-ray and all that stuff, and Star Wars is eventually going to get on Blu-ray. I probably have to go out and get a Blu-ray player sometime within the next month or something.
You should check it out. There's some very good, inexpensive Blu-ray players under $100 now. So
yeah, I've seen those. So
it's actually good, and I find watching the Clone Wars in Blu-ray is incredible because there's so much detail, and actually seeing it as opposed to the way they aired it, it's actually a wider format, which is like that on DVD, but when it's in Blu-ray, and it looks so crisp and clean, and that show was optimized to be seen in HD. So and they also have extra features on the Clone Wars Blu-ray, which aren't on the DVD, so that makes it worth it alone.
Yeah.
Yeah, can you tell us how you got the job for Fanboys? I know this has been in, Fanboys has been, people know about it for a really long time, but, just came out last year, so can you tell us how you got the job for it?
Well, I was making another movie at the time, a movie called The Hollow, and I got introduced to a producer through a mutual friend, and he's like, look, I know you're a massive Star Wars fan, and this guy's got a script about Star Wars fans. And I was like, well, hell, let me meet him. And so we got together, and we'd already met before once or twice, but we didn't really know, like, what each other did, and we got along. So we started talking about this project, and he'd been rewriting it for a little bit, and it turns out it was the project that Ernie had written that I'd read about years before on Ena Cooley's website. And it was Fanboys, but it was a different draft of it. And he's like, you know what, you're the guy, you're the biggest Star Wars fan I know, let's do this. And I was like, all right, let's do it. And it just took a few years to get it into shape, rewriting it and putting it all together, so it was an attractive package to go get financing. So it was a labor of love. Something you had to take a lot of time to do, a lot of perseverance, because not many people believed in it. And we found our money and got to make it, but it took years.
Yeah.
Yeah. I remember when I first heard about Fanboys back in 2005 on the Clerks 2 DVD.
Oh yeah.
In the trailer. I was excited ever since then, but I had to wait 4 years.
We have a mystery
Wow.
Somebody watching some Telemundo?
So yeah, so it's I'm glad it's finally out, and you know, and a couple things coming up in the UK. We have Fanboys at the Fright Fest in the UK at the end of August. So if you go to Fright Fest website, you can find there's two screens. I think one's on a Friday and one's on a Sunday, and I think it's August 26th and 28th or 27th and 29th. And then Fanboys is also opening their we're gonna have a screening, and it's gonna be on DVD and Blu-ray October 4th. And so we'll do some event early October, right before that, over there with some fans and hopefully some UK final first. And I'm excited it's finally coming out over there. And then we in the long term, we're putting together a book with Corey Lorenzen, who's the production designer, and Ernie, who's the one of the screenwriters. And that's going to be a kind of like a making of book. And that's going to have some pictures no one's ever seen before. It's going to have me and, you know, the producers and actors commenting about, you know, the making of it, along with a lot of stuff written by Corey, who designed the movie, and Ernie.
That's great. I mean, I would definitely buy a book that's all about the making of Fanboys. And I mean, if there's some exclusive pictures and stuff, I mean, that's...
Lots of pictures.
Wait on that?
We're not sure yet. We're still trying to figure it out, and we have to find, you know, publishing and all that. It probably is a year away, maybe less.
All right.
Yeah.
So you mentioned, like, shooting on Skywalker Ranch. I mean, like, what was it like? I mean, we've never been there, and we know that you've been there multiple times, so...
Yeah, it was pretty incredible. We drove down this long road, it was about 7 miles, and you got the freeway. You drive down Lucas Valley Road, and ironically, it was named Lucas Valley Road before he built the ranch. He saw it from a helicopter when he was trying to scout out, like, some property he could buy. And I guess he liked it, and then when he drove down the road, it was, like, ironic that it was named after, you know, had the same Lucas name. So it seemed like the road was named after his ranch, but it wasn't. And it's got this, you know, wooden gate, and it's very rustic, and the whole property, and you drive through this wooden gate, and it doesn't look like, it's unmarked, so you don't realize, it doesn't say, like, you know, welcome to Star Wars land or anything. It's very inauspicious, and you drive through this gate, and there's deers grazing, and there's little Victorian and, you know, kind of cottagey-type houses, and, I mean, then all of a sudden it opens up, and you're in this big valley, and there's Lake Ewok, and there's the main house at the end of this gorgeous valley, and the sun's always shining down on it, and there's cows, and it's just an incredible place. So when we first drove through, I could not believe that we were actually there. I was waiting for us to get kicked out, or...
You know, we were
there, that was a mistake. But then we got a tour, and we got to look around, and I got to go up on these roads that no one had ever really been on. The one guy who was a groundskeeper was like, I haven't been up here in years. So we opened up all these gates so the cows don't get out, and we kept looking for these cool shots. So we went way up, so we found this view of the ranch, which is the view of when Zoe looks through her macro binoculars.
Yeah.
Which is up this muddy, muddy road through all these gates that almost no one gets to go up to. So we shot up there, and then we got to shoot all around the property, which is very cool. So it was a once-in-a-lifetime kind of thing, and we got to mix the movie there and sound design it there. And, you know, since then, I've got to visit it a lot and stay up there. And, you know, Lucas family has become, like, you know, close friends. And it's a good
Wow, it sounds incredible. I mean, and then you went there, like, before WonderCon or after WonderCon, because the Clone Wars episode, you went with your wife, Jamie?
Oh, yeah, we went up there to stay, and then throughout WonderCon, we stayed at the ranch and drove in and out of the city. I mean, when we go up to San Francisco, we like to stay at the ranch better than in the city, because it's so nice, even though it's 30 minutes out of the way.
Yeah.
It's the best place to ever go. Anytime you get a chance to go to the ranch, you take it.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
On the commentary, you mentioned that not all the scenes from Skywalker Ranch were actually filmed there.
Yes.
The part with the table, that was in New Mexico, right?
Which part?
the part where they first break in and there's all those tables around that was actually in Albuquerque, New Mexico,
that was
right?
New Mexico, yeah.
Why couldn't you actually film that part at Skywalker Ranch?
Well, it would have taken, we would have been there for days, and also they don't really let people shoot inside. I mean, no one shoots inside.
Yes.
The fact that they let us shoot around the property and the building exterior was a victory in itself, because no one's ever gotten to shoot there to begin with. But to shoot in the building was a lot to ask for. We only had one day to shoot, and we didn't have enough money in our budget anyway to barely do that. So we had to try and make it look and feel as much like the ranch without actually being there, and then authenticating it and landmarking it with ranch exteriors. So we could convey to people that, yes, these people had really made it this far. Because fans that are going to watch this movie, diehard fans, know that what the ranch looks like, and they'll know if you really made it or not. So we needed to have that. And as far as inside the ranch, you know, as long as it conveyed the feel of it and the cool, we knew that we would do justice to, you know, we'd be doing justice to it in film. So it didn't have to be precisely there, because I mean, they're just hallways, they're running around, and things are jumping over, it's not necessarily exactly it. But we tried to find places that had the same glass, and the same type of wood wall paneling, and similar type of art and vibe, so it felt authentic.
I noticed that in a lot of pictures from the Skywalker Ranch, like, there's always people taking pictures of the Wookiee. That's your main profile picture on Facebook and Twitter, so is that Wookiee always there, or will...
Oh, that Wookiee, he came to the Fanboys premiere. That was me with a Wookiee in Los Angeles, and it's a guy who's actually based, I think he lives between San Diego and L.A., and he does a lot of events and costuming stuff with Rebel Legion. So that's a real a fan who just has a Chewbacca costume.
I thought it was from Skywalker Ranch, because I see a lot of pictures from there with Wookiees.
You know, they up there, they have, well, there's the Presidio, which is in San Francisco, and they have in their lobby a lot more Star Wars memorabilia, maquettes and statues and life-size stuff. At the ranch itself, there really isn't anything. George has a pretty amazing collection of vintage posters, European and Asian film posters, and he has one little area in the main house that has Star Wars memorabilia. Otherwise, there's nothing throughout the entire place. They do have one of the characters from Return to Oz in the sound building, the actual model, the life-size model of that robot in this little garden inside. But there's no Star Wars characters there.
So what's bigger, George's Willow collection or Star Wars collection?
You can't tell either. I mean, they have the archives with all the Star Wars stuff and the Willow stuff and all that. But as far as being on display, it's, I mean, there's virtually nothing in terms of Star Wars at the ranch.
Interesting. So I hear that there's, like, how many, do you know how many, like, buildings there are? Is there, like, a lot? Is there, like, a few? I mean, I know that there's, like, rooms for different areas of Lucasfilm, like, sound is,
well,
like,
there's some. When you first drive in, there's an inn, and the inn that has all these ancillary buildings where people can stay, like suites, like extended stay suites in the kitchen, named after famous directors or just people that influenced George, whether it's Gershwin or Kurosawa or Ford. And then there's they have their own fire department, and there's that building. And then there's almost like a Bridges of Madison County type bridge, and you cross over this creek into, it's a whole other area where they grow their own vegetables, and then off to the left they have the archive, and beyond that is George's own there's like a farm where there's actually like all types of animals and goats and donkeys, and it's like a ranch, you know, real working ranch, and they have their own organic gardens too, and he's got up in the hills he's growing olives and grapes. The grapes are used to make Francis Ford's wine. And there's a lot of grapes growing in front of the sound building, the technical building. There's also like a building, a store where people can eat. like a cafeteria, workout room. There's that building as well, and that's kind of nestled into the hill. And those are all, like, close to the lake. And then at the far end of the lake is the main house where his office is and stuff. That's like a four-floor building. And then beyond that, they have a few more smaller buildings where a lot of those offices that used to be publishing and licensing and legal, those all got moved down to the Presidio. So, and then a few miles up the road, closer to San Francisco, is Big Rock, where they do the Clone Wars and where they're working on, I believe, the live-action series, and they're working on that animated fairy movie that George is doing, too.
Well, sounds like you can live at the ranch. I mean, you got food and all that good stuff.
You could hide there, and no one would ever find you. you could live there. I mean, it's very self-sufficient. I mean, they cook the food that they grow for people, you know, everyone working there and staying there. Like, you can go eat there, and it's all self-sustainable, and they have their own food. And it's pretty amazingly thought out and designed.
Wow.
It sounds like the Skywalker Ranch was built on Eden, kind of. So,
it was.
You know, has seen Fanboys?
Has he seen it? I don't know. I'm not sure. I can't say for sure, but I assume he has. I know his family, his kids have. And they've been very cool about letting me do stuff. And I think the amount of access they've given me, I don't think they would let me keep doing things unless he had and he's cool with it. So, but I haven't talked to him about it, so I don't know.
Well, C5. So, what are you looking forward to at C5? Panels, guests, anything?
Well, I'm looking forward to George. I'm looking forward to the Howard Rothman stuff. I'm looking forward to seeing more of Hasbro's line. And I really think, you know, Hasbro needs to keep picking up figures that have not been on vintage cards before. I don't need any more repacks or resculpts of Darth Vader on a vintage card. I want figures that should have been made by Kenner but never were, so I'm hoping they do that. I want Grand Moff Tarkin. I want a Rebel soldier. I'm glad they're doing the Sand Trooper, Dr. Evazin, those types of classic characters that had speaking lines from Episode 4 that never got put on vintage cards by Hasbro. Cantina aliens that I never got, or the Cantina band members, or Garindan the Spy. That's what Hasbro should be doing, not 4LOM or 4LOM and characters that, I mean, who cares? We had them when we were kids on a vintage card. Let's see new people that Kenner never got to make. Or prequel characters, I'm looking forward to seeing them on vintage cards, because I'm not a big fan of what Hasbro's been doing in terms of cards recently. It really turned me off collecting. I think Star Wars figures should be on vintage cards. If they're worthy of being put out as a toy, they should be style cards. And gaming, and I want to see what's going on with the Clone Wars. There's going to be some good Clone Wars panels. And I'm looking forward to the last tour to Endor. That's going to be a fun night. I'm looking forward to, you know, the Force.net party. Sounds like it's going to be fun. The Force Cast guys. What else? I mean, I think it's just going to be, it's going to be good just to see a lot of fans, a lot of fellow fans. It's going to be a fun time. So they haven't announced a lot of their schedule, so I'm looking forward to seeing what's coming up. I have two panels that I'm going to be doing. One is on Friday at 6 p.m., and it's a prequel appreciation panel, and I'm going to be on that with Dave Filoni and James Arnold Taylor from The Clone Wars, and one or two other people, Tom Hodges, the artist, Tom Hodges, Star Wars artist, and someone else who works on The Clone Wars, and Brian Young, who's moderating the panel, put together. So there's another panel that Mandy from ForceCast and Force.net is putting together, which is about fandom and 140 characters. So it's about online fandom and Twitter and Facebooking and stuff like that. And that panel is coming up soon. I don't know if it's been announced yet, but I'm going to be part of that on Sunday.
Sounds cool. I mean, yep. I wish they have like recordings of these panels. At least some of the bigger panels. I know I definitely like to hear like the online fandom panel.
They're trying to. I know they'd love to get Libre recording device at every panel and plug in and record it and then put put them up there for people. There's no reason why they shouldn't be able to, at least for some of the big ones. So hopefully, I mean, there's going to be panels. Even if you're going, you're going to miss, because so many events are scheduled at the same time. So you can't see everything even while you're there, so it'd be great to go home and be able to catch up on what you missed.
Yeah. All right, so you mentioned Clone Wars, and so Aura is back, and how long have you known this, that Aura is going to be back in Season 3?
Well, since the beginning. I don't think that they would ever kill a character off-screen if they're really dead. So, and, you know, I knew Jamie was recording stuff for Season 3, you know, in the middle of Season 2, so I've known her for a bit.
Yeah.
I've known her for quite a while, too, because back in, I believe it was when the last episode aired for his Ustream chat, I remember I asked if Aura was going to be back, and I think she let it slip that she was.
Yeah, she might have hinted.
Are you looking forward to any of the new Star Wars video games, The Force Unleashed 2 or The Old Republic?
I am. I'm definitely. I mean, with The Force Unleashed 1, it was fun to play. Got a little redundant, but I liked it. I liked reading the comic book and the story about how it ties into Star Wars, you know, the official timeline, which I thought, that's what I'm looking forward to. So the reading the comic book or the book. I'm looking forward to The Old Republic. I like all the stuff they've been putting out. I'd like to play it. I also know that those type of games are a major drain on time.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
It's a big commitment, so I have to see if I'm going to commit to that. You know, I'm excited to see what comes out of it, all the ancillary stuff, the comic books and the novels and the toys, but I don't know if I'm necessarily going to be playing every day.
Yeah. But that's the same for me as well, but like the novels and stuff, Fatal Alliance just came out, like, last week, and it's a great book.
Yeah, I ordered that on Borders when everything was on sale. Seems like it's going to be cool.
Yeah, it's a great book.
I still think the best Star Wars novels are the Darth Bane novels.
The Darth Bane novels are great.
Yeah.
Yeah,
and Dark Lord.
I like reading about the Force more than I do about clones. You know, if it's going to be expanded universe, I'd much rather be reading about, you know, the complexities and the nuances of the Force than, you know, X-Wing pilots or, you know, short order cooks or Ithorian barbers. Just read about Force users. That's what makes Star Wars interesting and different than all these other universes. So,
what is your favorite EU novel, Kyle?
Well, I love, you know, The Heir to the Empire. That's great. I love the Darth Bane stuff. I love the Dark Lord of the Sith, that the Darth Vader novel that came out a few years ago. Started after Revenge of the Sith and gets right into Vader's head. That was spectacular, that book. I like the novelizations of the films. I like a lot of the making of books, art of books. I read a lot of the EU, but just to see what's out there, but a lot of it is mediocre.
Yeah.
I'm less unimpressed by Fate of the Jedi so far. Legacy of the Force, I suffered through that 9-book series and maybe wasted 80 hours of my audiobook life. I mean, there was cool things in it, but ultimately it's not at the level of Star Wars that, you know, fans should be demanding, you know.
Yeah.
It doesn't have the scope and the adventure, and I know it's a book and people say it can be different, but, you know, a book like Heir to the Empire, that trilogy is great, and it took you in a lot of different ways and explored things that the movies didn't explore, and it's exciting. I don't think Legacy of Force at 9 books, I mean, it was really stretched thin, and I think Fate of the Jedi, I'm feeling the same thing. It's just, it could have been 3 books, it's diluted.
Mm-hmm.
Plot lines are very, very thin and slash lame, but there's still great scenes in them, there's still stuff I like, so you know, I'm interested to see what they're doing with the story, and I'm going to go listen to them and support them, and, you know, I love Star Wars, so I'm going to follow it. But, you know, there are things I wish were better.
Yeah, speaking of the EU, this is a good week for Star Wars fans because of Fanboys Blu-ray, but it's also a bad week because Legacy and tomorrow.
Wow, Legacy's out tomorrow, the final issue?
Yes, I believe so. I believe it was July 28th, that's what I read a few months ago. I know it's at the end of this month, so.
Yeah, that's that is a major drop ball by Dark Horse. I feel like that was one of my favorite Star Wars EU things. I like Dark Times, but again, that's on hiatus until 2011. I've read some of Invasion. It seems cool. Maybe it's not my thing. I'm not a big fan of that Yu Jianvong era Star Wars. But it's well done. But I like Dark Times and Legacy. So unless they come up with something great in place of Legacy, you know, the Star Wars comics have kind of suffered a bit, you know, with the loss of Legacy, I feel like. I don't see anything on the horizon that's quality enough taking its place.
Not even Knight Errant?
I don't know much about that. I have to see. I mean, I like that writer. I like the early Knights of the Old Republic stuff he was doing. But again, once the Zane Carrick plotline got resolved, I felt like it just...
Yeah, I know what you mean.
Got thin and diluted, so I don't know what Knight Errant... If that's what I'm getting in replace of Legacy, I'm always going to be bitter against it because Legacy was perfect to me. I loved it. So if you're trying to take something I loved away and replace it with something else, it's going to be hard for me to be open to it because
yeah.
There's no reason you should have been canceling Legacy. Just so you can help sell a video game, you know? Like, it just feels cheap with the whole Republic tie-in.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it is. I mean, but with, like, Old Republic, the comics, I mean, those were online comics, weren't they?
I think they're trying to do a continuation of it.
Yeah.
So I'm not sure. It's really cool that they do the stories in different formats for people.
Yeah.
And that I'm excited about. Mm-hmm. But, I just wish it wouldn't be at the expense of Legacy. I know they can only publish so many titles a year, so... You know, Dark Times is taking a hiatus, and Legacy's gone, so it feels like they're replacing it with, like, Invasion and Invasion Frontlines or whatever it is. Like, I don't need that much Invasion.
Yeah. I mean, because they already have the first volume out, which is Refugees, and now they're on Rescues, I think, so...
Yeah.
The second arc. So...
I'm going to check it out.
The group. I haven't read all this EU that you guys have, but I do have one last question about, it's not a Star Wars question, which sucks, but your IMDb, it lists Emo Boys. Anything new on that? Or?
There's nothing new on Emo Boy. We're still trying to figure out how we're going to make it. If it's going to be a movie or a TV show. There's not much new on it. So, unfortunately, nothing to report on that front. But we do have some TV shows that are in the works that are close. Some other stuff that hopefully I'll be able to talk about soon. Both very cool, those two TV shows. One's a reality and one's a scripted drama. So, hopefully I'll be able to... spill some secrets on them soon.
Alright, well, I don't want to tie too much of your time, Kyle, so we'll let you go. And
I appreciate you having me on.
Yeah, I mean, it's great to always talk to someone that you know, we, like, really look up to. I mean, Fanboys was such a, you know, it definitely inspired me, and I know Eric, too.
Yeah.
Thank you. That means a lot. You know, I made the movie for fellow fans, so I'm glad you guys connect with it and respond to it. And, you know, I thank you guys for being such loyal and devoted supporters of it. It's really, really cool of you and very kind of you to, you know, support it the way you do and have me on the show, so thank you.
All right, well,
Jamie, thank you, too.
Thanks, guys.
Oh, hi.
You got four on.
Thank you for supporting Fanboys. We appreciate it.
Oh, no problem. It's such a great movie, and we definitely look to it in a time of need.
Absolutely.
Awesome. Great.
All right. Well, maybe we'll have you on again, hopefully.
Sure, thank you guys, and thanks to all the fans out there that also support the movie, and hopefully we'll maybe get a new version of it one day with all the deleted scenes that no one's ever seen and stuff. So if people keep supporting it, maybe that'll come down the production slate for them. All right, thanks guys. Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye. This podcast is not endorsed by Lucasfilm Limited or 20th Century Fox. It's intended for informational and entertainment purposes only. Star Wars, all names, sounds, and characters, or any other Star Wars-related items are the registered trademarks of Lucasfilm or the respective trademark or copyright holders.